Fundraising experts say the newly minted Climate Council may struggle to keep afloat. Three former members of the Climate Commission, including its former head Tim Flannery, launched the new body this morning after the Abbott government axed the commission last week. Professor Flannery says community donations will fund the Climate Council so that it can continue to provide information to the public about climate change. He says he's been blown away by the number of donations he's already received. Ashley Hall reports.
The former Labor government set up the Climate Commission in early 2011 to provide expert advice to the Australian community on climate change science, the effects of climate change, and international efforts to beat it. It was part of a promise the then Prime Minister Julia Gillard made during the 2010 election campaign to help build a community consensus for action on climate change. This year, the Coalition made an election promise of its own to abolish the Commission, and the new government swung the axe last week. But the former Chief Commissioner, Tim Flannery, says the Commission's work is too important to let go.
Without an informed public, Australia is unlikely to make the decisions that will safeguard our future against a dangerous climate. An informed public is crucial to a functioning democracy.
So, Professor Flannery and his fellow commissioners have decided to continue their work.
Our fire services, for example, must be prepared for increasing fire danger in Tasmania, Victoria, some parts of New South Wales and South Australia. It's critical that our hospitals and medical services are prepared for increasing likelihood of heat waves. Our coastal communities need to prepare for increasing sea levels.
They launched a new body in Sydney today called the Climate Council. It will be not-for-profit, funded by public donations. And Professor Flannery insists it will be apolitical and fiercely independent.
It's been, 2.5 years. We've released 27 reports. We've met well over 20,000 Australians face-to-face and answered their questions on this. We've had numerous town hall meetings, business meetings, meetings with academics and others, and we'll continue to do that.
The now-defunct Climate Commission had a budget of $5.6 million over 4 years. The former commissioners acknowledge they'll have to tighten their belts without government funding, but they are confident of raising the money they need by mimicking the efforts of the Democratic Party in the US.
We're raising money Obama-style in small donations online from the public, from ordinary Australians, although in my view, they are extraordinary Australians.
Already, the new Climate Council has received $35,000 in donations. That's proof, the Environment Minister Greg Hunt says, that such a body doesn't need government help. But will crowdfunding deliver the sort of money the Climate Council will need to survive?
Well, that depends upon their ability to keep it in the media, to keep it as a live issue for the public, and if people see that there's a need, they will continue giving.
Professor Miles McGregor-Lowndes is the director of the Australian Centre for Philanthropy and Non-Profit Studies at the Queensland University of Technology. He says the crowdfunding model has a long history.
It started in America where groups of university students wanted to host pop stars to come and give a concert, and they all chipped in using social media to get the money in order to host the performance.
Has it been a proven source of funding in the science field?
Not so much in the science field, but it's certainly with environmental issues. The environmental non-profits in Australia use face-to-face solicitation and social media in order to raise funds. And it's not all new. Did you realise that the Statue of Liberty was actually funded by individual donations from small donations from people?
But is crowdfunding sustainable over the long term? Louise Walsh is the Chief Executive of Philanthropy Australia.
Typically it works best where you're raising money for a particular project or program. So I think they will probably need some major donors or major gifters to supplement that funding on an ongoing basis to cover probably some key operational costs.
Now, you say that they will probably need a two or three or a handful of big donors. They've been quite clear that they don't want to have any particular agenda for this organisation. They want it to be independent, apolitical. How hard will it be to find some big donors without going to people you might classify as true believers, people who are passionate about a particular cause or ambition?
Philanthropists tend to support cause areas that they have a passion and interest in. And there's no question one of the strongest cause areas in Australia is the environment, climate change, conservation. So there are people around that have a particular interest and passion in this area. So I think what's going to happen is some of them could well be attracted to support this new organisation.
The long-established Climate Institute has raised concerns about the emergence of another organisation in the climate change arena, but Professor Flannery says the Climate Council will have a unique role. Regardless, Louise Walsh says it won't hurt any of the groups to compete for donations.
It also means that certain non-profits may well lift their game and pump more resources and expertise into this space, but I don't think competition is necessarily a bad thing, I have to say.
Louise Walsh, Chief Executive of Philanthropy Australia, speaking to Ashley Hall.